Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go there.
With Shira and Ryan.
Entertainment.
Music. Pop culture.
LGBT plus news. Let's go there.
Start now.
Hello.
That was annoying. You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan.
That was a peak that annoying.
Was, yeah, cringe.
That was, you, yeah.
Where we catch you up on the news of the day and so much more. And of course, it is Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday.
I feel like it makes you feel like it's a motivation day.
No, it doesn't. Everyone knows
like,
it has
Super
to do with
Tuesday,
politics.
Super Tuesday, yay!
But maybe because that's your Canadian, like your Canada's jumping out.
Anything that has the word super in front of it makes it sound like positive.
Not really. I don't know if today's
it's
really a positive day.
Tuesday.
It feels like today is a very stressful day because you don't know where it's going to go. There's a lot of changes. I mean, there's things happening politically that you're just confused about. A lot of people are. I'm confused. I'm nervous. Ah!
I'm feeling it from you, really.
No, you're not.
But we will be bringing you all the updates throughout the show
in real time,
live, so you can just stay with us.
But here's the thing about that, though. So we're going to be having a switch in co-host a little bit later on.
A little switcheroo.
Yes. Shar Jassel, she's going to be joining us probably throughout the show, to be honest, because she's here in the studio, but she'll be most definitely joining in the 6 p.m. hour because I will be heading out downstairs in our brand new sound space here at the radio.com studios for election night at late night with Jared Hill. I'll be on the panel. Is it in late night or at late night? Girl, I don't know what that damn title is.
No, we're great at promoting things.
No, but either way, it's on the website at wearechannelq.com. If you have nothing to do at Super Tuesday and you want to hear some queer folks talking all things about politics, come on, it's free. We got the food, we got the wine, we got the beverages, everything you're needing, and then you'll get to meet me.
Election night,
cherry on top,
in late night.
Yes. Oh, I was close.
It's on our social media. We are Channel Q.
I just messed up my prepositions.
Yes.
Period.
So I'm sad because I didn't get to vote today because I'm Canadian.
Here's the thing, Shira. That's really your fault.
I feel like it's an excuse. Now, it's starting to be an excuse. I've been here since 2004, basically.
Yeah.
And I need to do it finally.
Shira's just been milking, you know, really when Donald Trump is talking about immigrants, she's talking about Shira Lazar, to be quite honest. The one stealing the jobs.
Well, all right. Ryan has left the building.
No, I'm just joking because here's the thing.
He just laughed himself out of the chair.
But I think it's interesting, though. What is your perspective? Do you feel like a large sense of FOMO because you're seeing all the I voted stickers and you talk about politics every day with, you know, here on the show?
I'm starting to feel like a bit, yeah, more than a bit. I'm starting to feel like a bit of a hypocrite and a bit of like I'm an outsider, like, but I'm like still playing in
where's
the game.
Where's the hypocrite?
Because I talk about doing all this stuff and yet I feel like I should be putting in the work to get my citizenship and I feel like finally I need to do that. I think at a certain point, like, you get your green card and then you're like, yeah, I have my green card. And you kind of live with that for a bit.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, it feels like, okay, you're living here, so why don't you just do it?
But I don't think you should feel like a hypocrite.
Hypocrite, like oh my God, what's the word when you feel like you're not supposed to be somewhere? Oh my God, we talk
imposter.
About imposter.
I mean, that I could probably see. But I don't
I
think
feel like a bit of imposter.
But here's the thing. I think you could feel that way if you were just living here and not using your platform for the best of your ability. But guess what? We're here every single day talking to experts.
Yeah, totally.
We're educating ourselves and our listeners. And I think that's enough, you know, for right now. Obviously, you're working towards it.
That's what I needed to hear today.
Of course, I'm always here for you.
For real, I actually do want to get my citizenship.
I want to help you study. We're going to do live tests of like history to get cheer ready.
I'm excited. Any reason to learn history? Because I was never necessarily into that. And I feel like every time that things come up at like a dinner or something, I always get it wrong or Jeopardy.
Girl, wait till Shira finds out about Harriet Tubman. I'm telling you, she's going to stand.
I knew about that.
She's going to be woke, for real. She's going to be like an activist all the way.
What? We actually learned that in Canada.
She likes slavery. What? No.
That's the one thing we did learn. In Canada.
I know.
We actually didn't learn as much about the other things happening.
Yeah, you're going to find out about indigenous people and the way they were treated here. Girl, you're going to find out about everything. I can't wait for your activism journey. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful.
So anyway, but I did encourage my followers on social media to go vote. It's a privilege. And go vote. Because I'd been in yoga in the morning and working, and I was like, I should probably say something.
I should probably actually do something now. But seriously, if you have not voted already, please head to the nearest polling center. You can find all that out on, just the Googles. Literally Google your nearest polling center. That's what I did. And it's very easy. Get involved, y'all. It's our right, not a privilege.
Yes.
It's our right. And it's a
privilege,
but
yeah,
it's
I do
a
say
right.
It's a privilege, too. Yeah. I did pressure the guy I'm barely dating. Basically, I said to him, "Happy Super Tuesday." That's how I started my text today. LOL.
Oh, I would have hated you.
That's like I'm flirting around Sue. I'm using it as an excuse. He goes, "Yay! I wasn't allowed to vote for Democratic nominee though. Democrat nominee." I go, and then he goes, "Who did you go for?" I go, "Because Bloomberg not on." I think he's into Bloomberg.
Oh, that's gross.
And then I just said, "This is just a guy I'm hanging out with." I go, "Vote Biden."
Oh,
LOL.
Is it the guy that I met?
Yeah.
I told you, bad taste. Called it. Could you hit the bell?
I just go, vote Biden. And I go, #, too soon.
Okay, Shira, we got to give some headlines. We can't go down the
This is what happens when you do this
hole.
For a living and then you're texting with someone that you're not dating. Okay. Let's get into what's trending in the news. Something happened overnight that was really sad in Nashville.
Oh, y'all. So I woke up this morning, several text messages from my mom because, I'm from Nashville and my mother's down there still and I have friends, loved ones there as well. And it's very sad to know that at midnight, all of a sudden, this tornado comes out
it's
of
crazy.
Nowhere while people are sleeping. I know the news channels were trying to alert everyone. There was a big alarm because back at home, they have a huge alarm, like a tornado alarm. And it was just very scary.
Uh-huh.
And luckily, when I looked at the trail, when I was looking at the news, it literally brushed over our house. Like, it did not touch anywhere near us. But my mom, it was very scary. She was very scared this morning. And some of the stories that we're hearing.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And the destruction is crazy. So 19 people were killed, it's reported, in these overnight tornadoes throughout Tennessee. And around 40 structures are severely damaged, probably more at this point. But they are in the midst of a crisis. So we are sending our love and support to everyone who are impacted. And I'm sure there's going to be some fundraising.
No, there most definitely is. There's celebrities coming out. Carrie Underwood is speaking out about it. There's just a lot of things happening. So if you see anything, please donate. There's so many families. It's also Super Tuesday in Tennessee as well.
Then that's crazy because how will it impact
can talk about. Yeah. But going back to the voting really quick, I know I was telling some information about our polling place.
Yeah, I distract everyone by my dumb text exchange. Okay, yeah.
Vote411.org for polling places. That's where you can find all your nearest polling places. It's vote411.org. And then, of course, we're about to talk more about Super Tuesday.
Yeah, right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, we're bringing you live results of the presidential primary election.
Yes,
Super Tuesday happening right now. So stay with us all night long, at least until 7 p.m. Pacific.
It's stressful.
Continue to listen right here on Channel Q because we're going to be having a special with Jared Hill.
Yes,
Jared Hill is here.
Yeah, he's here.
Hi, I'm here.
Oh, you're still not on.
Well, that's me. I'm here, I think.
I think he did that purposely.
Probably.
Of course
I
I did. I'm coming to sabotage.
I'm so excited because it is Super Tuesday, which means we've got a very special edition of Election Night and Late Night with Jared Hill.
That's gonna be
tonight at 9 o'clock. But for those of you that are in the LA area, Election Night in Late Night live with Jared Hill, because I'm Jared Hill.
Wow, I couldn't figure out the name. You know, it's the longest title for a show. I mean, I would love to go through a revision process.
Well, I was inspired by my love for High School Musical, the musical, the series. And so,
if they can do it,
I can do it, damn it.
Oh,
so tonight we're having a live special event with a live audience. And if you're in the LA area, we'd love to have you come join us. If you call right now, actually, we're going to be giving away some tickets. The tickets you can get online. They're very expensive tickets. They're very hard to get.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be able to get through the We Are Channel Q website. You can actually go get them right now. But if you give us a call right now, 877-CALL-Q.
833-772-2557.
Well, this is what happens when Jared hasn't been on the air for a long time.
I was on the air yesterday.
If you call in, you're in the LA area, you will get two tickets, plus we'll get you some swag.
No, Sheer, don't.
We've got free alcohol.
This is not what our boss said to say. This is what he said.
Can we go to the results?
Shira, this is what he said to say. We are going to give a pair of tickets away to have you come here. All you got to do is be caller number 5-833-77-CALL-Q. 833-772-2557. And then I'm not throwing any on any merch
we'll
or anything.
We'll get you some
Sherelle
wipes.
But we do have free alcohol tonight.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's all the swag that you
and
need.
And some hand sanitizer.
Oh, look
so
at
guess
you.
What? We have
okay.
about 3 minutes
we need
to talk
get right.
about
Let's
all
get the results. What's going on?
So the first state has been called. Virginia has been called for Joe Biden, which is a big state, obviously. And also, I'm seeing that CNN is also calling Vermont for Joe Biden.
They are.
For Bernie Sanders, excuse me. With 0% of the vote in, so I'm not exactly sure how they're calling that, but it's also Bernie's state, so we would expect them to do well there.
Yeah, are they doing that for Massachusetts for Warren?
They are not, and it will be interesting to see how that shakes out, but polls are not closed yet there, so we will be watching that all night. But downstairs, mm-hmm. we're going to be watching all of the results as they come in, and then we'll have a live on-air show coming up after Loveline at 9
Love
o'clock
it.
As well.
So, real quick, let's talk about who... Who needs a successful night tonight?
Elizabeth Warren and Michael Bloomberg have got to show up on the boards tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren has to win some states.
And just in third place, right? And they need to kind of show up in third place.
No, no, no. Elizabeth Warren needs to win something tonight. Mm. She needs to take some things home to even have a case to continue. After Pete Buttigieg jumped out of the race, I thought to myself, I like Elizabeth Warren a lot, but I don't know what her case is anymore. If Pete Buttigieg can't survive, I don't know what her case is. So tonight she's got to put some points on the board, because if not, tomorrow's going to be her announcement that she's leaving.
I feel like she's been kind of quiet.
Once
again, hasn't been covering her as much.
Well, and I think that's interesting that you brought that up, Cher, because there has been this unfortunate kind of, and what I'm going to say is erasure of her when we're seeing, you know, the comparisons between Bernie and just, especially Biden had, a successful night in South Carolina. People are only seeing those two. Mm-hmm. They're not seeing anyone else. And I think Elizabeth Warren is still someone that has a fight left in her. I mean, will it happen? Who knows? But I feel like people saying, well, you need to just go ahead and vote for the people that are doing success right now. But guess what? Elizabeth Warren could be successful if she got votes.
We have another state that's being called right now.
Okay.
Joe Biden will win North Carolina's Democratic primary.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the second state that's going for Joe Biden. Once again, Joe Biden, according to CNN's projections, will win North Carolina's Democratic primary. His second
Super Tuesday. That's not shocking, though, because he won South Carolina, and you're thinking.
I mean, not crazy shocking, but I mean... This is what we're talking about, though, right? Like, Joe Biden, if Joe Biden sweeps the night or, you know, takes half the night and Bernie takes the other, what is the argument for a Michael Bloomberg or an Elizabeth Warren? Ooh. And you were asking who needs to win tonight. Michael Bloomberg also has to show something tonight, right? This is the first time that people are going to the polls and he's actually on the ballot. So he's got to be able to make the case that, you know, I should stay in this race as well. He's also spent $500 million, so he wants to see something turn out.
Some results. What happens to people who voted for Buttigieg and Klobuchar?
That early voted, those votes are done, right? Like
they'll still tabulate it, but it just doesn't mean anything.
It won't mean anything. And so if you early voted, for instance, for Pete Buttigieg in California a week ago, and then he dropped out, that vote basically is
So
useless.
What's interesting is, oh, and I talked about this yesterday, how I noticed there were people that dropped out of the race that were still on the ballot.
Yeah.
I mean, one shocking person was Marianne Williamson.
Yeah, I saw her on the ballot.
Which is
today.
Like, what is going on?
She lives.
Klobuchar, Pete Buttigieg, all these people were out. But I do know if there was, and I did read online that it was saying that if you have not turned in your ballot and you already had it filled out, you can exchange it for a new one. But that means if you have not turned it in at all.
Right. So we talked about that this morning, too, because like plenty of people early voted and sent in their ballots. I was going to early vote and just drop off my ballot, but I didn't have time. And I just went and stood in line and voted this afternoon. And so, you know, I was able to vote today. But, you know, Andrew Yang was still on there. Cory Booker was still on there. Marianne Williamson was still on there.
Yeah.
And we're going to see returns for them. So it will be interesting, but it obviously won't mean anything.
Well, if you want to be caller number 5 to head over and check us out and see more of the election night and late nights with Jared Hill and me, of course, I'll be on the panel.
VIP tickets.
Give us a call, 833-77-CALL-Q, 833-772-2557, honey.
833-77-CALL-Q. I'm so excited to see you guys downstairs.
Yes.
In the new sound space. This is our first Channel Q event down there. So
I'm excited too. I'm dressed for the occasion. Okay, let's move into top stories in pop culture and entertainment news. What's the tea, Ryan?
Oh, God, I love you so much. Okay, so coming up in What's the Tea, honey, find out what Hollywood A-lister is tied to the Invisible Man star Elizabeth Moss. And I guess I can say this little clue, Scientology. That's cute. Okay. Yeah, why not? All right, so we are back with, What's the Tea, our entertainment pop culture stories of the day. But first things first, we got to talk all things Disney. Okay, so we're doing this really cute Adventures in Wyoming moment with Disney. Channel Q is giving away a chance for a spectacular VIP getaway for two at, in beautiful Wyoming. It's you and a friend will embask in the rugged natural beauty and amazing wonders of Wyoming. For 7 days and nights, meals, flights, and everything is taken care of. Now, this package includes a stay at the gorgeous resort, complete with rafting, hiking through Yellowstone National Park, and other amazing, beautiful things. I'm telling you, the romance is in the air. Wyoming is absolutely beautiful. Kanye West loves it now. Kim Kardashian loves it now. So it must be it.
It's a hot spot.
It's a hot spot. So enter to win this amazing adventure. Just go to WeAreChannelQ.com. Brought to you by Adventures by Disney and Channel Q. But now, let's get into What's the Tea.
Because, let's do it.
Girl, so Elizabeth Moss, we all know her from Handmaid's Tale. We know her
and
from
Mad Men. Before,
Mad Men. I was going to say Mad Men. I was there. I was getting there. Even though I haven't actually seen that that show completely yet. I've always started it and I could never finish it because there's just something about watching, you know, shows from the 50s and just men and women and the
I liked it for a moment.
It was
for a moment I was into it.
I don't know. I just still don't understand the hype around Don Draper, but whatever, maybe one day.
Oh my God, he's so hot. No,
well,
him as the actor.
Elizabeth, yeah. And obviously what's new is an Invisible Man about Elizabeth Moss. So she is, of course, doing all her press. She was on Watch What Happens Live on yesterday. And, you know, she's a Scientologist, right?
I kind of knew that.
No, we all knew that. She's been a Scientologist.
I forgot it.
Yeah, she is most definitely a Scientologist. She has actually been very political about her Scientology on moments where she's accepting awards during either the Golden Globes or, the Emmys. Like, she's been very open about it. She actually took a question about her reaction to hearing rumors that she was engaged to the one and only Tom Cruise.
Oh, who's now also she's engaged? Isn't she married?
No, this was back in the day. So these were, there was when, you know, tabloids.
She was
and all
up
these.
For the role.
She was, well, you know, Tom Cruise is also a well-known Scientologist, honey.
Of course.
And here's a little bit of the moment where she got asked the question, and here's her answer to that, because she had a very interesting take.
Wait, there were gossip stories that you were getting married to Tom Cruise?
How did you miss that?
Oh, my God, I would have been so excited
I
for
know.
You. I would have DM'd you and been like,
congrats.
This is, yes.
Mazel.
Wow.
I actually was confused and also mainly got texts from people being like, I didn't know. Why didn't you tell me?
Right.
And just confusion from my friends, but mainly poking fun at it because obviously they knew that it wasn't
true. Wow. Oh.
And then I saw it on the cover of one of the gossip magazines and I was like, I've never had that haircut.
So she never, I guess at this point she's never done it. And also Cruz is, he's 57, which I did not know Tom Cruise was 57. I was kind of gooped by that.
What?
I was like, he looks so good. I mean, I don't know what type of science experiments are happening up in that building, the big blue building up in Hollywood.
It's a very Celebrity Center.
It's a very scary moment. And you know, Cher has her own ties to Scientology. If you heard the show, I'm just going to let that be very mysterious. So people can just think Cher is a Scientologist too.
Okay.
But no, they've been linked in the past because of obviously their involvement in the Church of Scientology. And she's also made a very, you know, as we heard that she said is non-existent. That's not the truth. But I think it happened when he was looking for wives. And you remember there was rumors about he was having auditions for women to be his wife to, you know, these are what the rules are, blah, 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 blah.
I remember.
I don't know. I just want there to be a shocking tell-all book of all the celebrities that are Scientologists.
I feel like that has come out. I want to know
Do people know that?
I want to know the women who have auditioned to be his wife.
I don't want to know that because I feel like that is hella abusive. Like, I just
feel it's messed up, but I'm still intrigued.
Yeah, there's just some abuse there. But
it's weird.
I don't know if it's a really big thing about people knowing about celebrities in Scientology. Like, is it well-known?
At this point, I feel like people are just open about it. I feel like 10 years ago, it was a bigger deal when it started being revealed. But, you know, there was that reality show where...
Leah Remini.
Yeah, she talked about it. Docuseries?
Yeah, it's a docuseries she literally uncovers all of the mess about what really goes on. And actually, I remember her talking about it. I think we talked about it here on What's the Tea, that she was like, there was moments where she was fearing for her own life. Like, she was fearing because they were coming at her trying to shut the show down and shut her down. And honey, I mean, when I talk about, you know, we taking out kneecaps and you're going to the bottom of the river type of thing. That's what I think. I Googled who's some celebrities that you may know who are Scientologists. So Christy Alley, Juliette Lewis, John Travolta, of course, Kelly Preston, Gina Elfman, Jason Lee, who he has a really creepy mustache.
Jason Lee, he's an actor, a comedian. He's a bit of a comedic actor. He was on sick. He had his own sitcom at a certain point.
Danny Masterson,
Masterson,
which he ended up getting involved in his own little Me Too case.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, girl, I don't know.
Him and Bijou Phillips. I had a whole time where it was like I was dating that guy who was in Scientology, and I was hanging out with a lot of those people. They all live on the east side of LA.
Did you ever think it was weird? Like, oh, I think I'm in the wrong place right now because I'm hanging out with people in Scientology.
No, I was never... They were always very chill with me. They never forced me to do anything.
You just don't remember them. They literally brainwashed you and took that piece of your brain out. You know what, girl? I don't know. If you want to know more about this story, head over to WeirdChannelQ.com and keep us following at LGT Show all over social meds. Shira, what's up next?
All right. A Fox News analyst is getting the viral treatment after forgetting to close a tab from his web browser that appeared on air. This is like every on-air person's worst nightmare.
Hilarious.
The blooper that has everyone talking coming up next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
You know, every reporter or anchor on air, their worst nightmare, one would just be to mess up or just like brain fart or stop talking, right? Like something happens, you don't know what to say.
Well, I guess they couldn't make it here. On this show, because that's what we're always doing.
Well, you know, I love those viral videos of like reporter flubs. They're the best. Well, this one happened on Super Tuesday to make it more entertaining for all of us on Fox News. Okay, Britt Hume basically was showing a screenshot of something from his browser, right? And he's a political analyst. And viewers ended up finding something really interesting that was on his browser because one of the browsers showed, you know, like the a screenshot of election betting odds showing Joe Biden taking the lead over Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, it was a screenshot. He was doing his job. He was talking about, he was being on the pulse of what was happening in this whole election season.
But then on the other tabs from his iPad, there were some other things. Someone pointed out a SunTrust online account, like one of the tabs.
Right, because people are nosy.
Banking, right? Another tab was him searching the coronavirus.
Of course.
Staying on top of it.
Yeah, wash your hands, people.
But the tab that has everyone talking was marked Sexy Vixen Vinyl.
So either he was, you know, getting ready to gear up for a very sexy time with himself.
Maybe he was trying to figure out how to protect himself from the coronavirus.
But I think people ended up searching that because they didn't know if it was porn or if it was like actually, what was it? What is a sexy vixen vinyl?
It's an ad for a vinyl goddess halter bra priced on sale for $15.37.
Well, you know, girls.
Featuring a scantily clad model was the most common search share.
I respect whatever he likes to do in his downtime, and I'm all about that. So if that's what he was searching for, hopefully they had his size. Or his partner's
who
size.
Knows?
You never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Hopefully he was buying a present for someone.
I mean, maybe. you just never know.
But he tweeted it at 5:37 a.m.
And I guess, yeah. Now, that's actually a really good point.
Oh, by the way, he tweeted it. It wasn't on air.
If he's on Fox News, you know. No, yes, he did tweet it. Yeah.
He tweeted it. Meaning, I thought he also... I thought it was also on air.
No, it was a tweet.
It would have been funnier.
So here's the thing, though. If he's on Fox News, now we like to have Richard Fowler on for Fox News, and he's like the one Democrat over there. I think it means to say that he's a Republican. Now, if he's buying this stuff, the sexy vixen wear, either for himself or, you know, for a partner or whatever, who knows? But if it is where it's like he's dabbling into his queer side, it does kind of go into this double standard of him being a Republican and also not facing up with his, you know, what we commonly see with other Republicans, you know, leaders, where they come out with stories where they have been messing with little boys, or they're messing with, you know, same-sex people, or they're preaching all this hate towards the community, and they like the girls, as me and Char Jocelle loves to say. So, who knows? I don't know this man's story. I wish the best for him.
Yeah.
I hope the sexy vinyl.
Someone should be having an exciting time at a certain point, hopefully. If you follow through with the purchase.
I don't know, but guess what, people? If you don't know how to use your computer or your technologies, I would be careful of just screenshotting willy-nilly. Did he just think it was only going to be the browser and not his?
Who knows? Yeah, that's the thing. It's those little details that people forget.
Yeah.
And it's an easy one to forget.
It's not good. Not good.
All right. Well, coming up, of course, we're going to be bringing you some more updates, real-time ones, of Super Tuesday, all the results that you need to know about. That's coming up right after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
All right. We're about to get into what's trending in the news top of the hour, including some Super Tuesday results updates. But in the meantime, we're going to tell you how you can win an awesome trip. Courtesy of Disney.
I know you lie. How you gonna pull that up on me and I wasn't
you know.
Even prepared? Okay, so here's
Surprise.
The thing. Channel Q is giving you a chance to win a spectacular VIP getaway for two to beautiful Wyoming.
Yes.
It's Adventures by Disney Wyoming. oh my God, I almost died. So basically, we're gonna send you and a friend to bask in the ambience of natural beauty.
Wow.
Amazing wonders of Wyoming for 7 days and nights, meals, flight, and planning, all taken care of. And then we got activities for you.
Okay.
We got rafting. We got the hiking through Yellowstone National Park and other spectacular sites. To enter to win this amazing adventure, just go to wearechannelq.com. Brought to you by Adventures by Disney and Channel Q. Actually, my mom is coming to town. I need to see if Disney's going to give us a couple tickets.
Okay, yeah. Let's go.
I want to take my mom to Disney.
You just reminded me. Yeah, let's email.
Yeah, we should.
It.
We should totally.
We'll see y'all there. Okay, let's get into some what's trending in the news right now. Top of the hour. Miss Staten Island has been banned from her boroughs. Is it borough? Boroughs. St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Okay.
Borough.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Madison Linsalata was informed Saturday night, hours after coming out as bisexual.
Okay.
So, no, they banned her after she came out.
Wow, that's disgusting.
Exactly. That she and another pageant supporter would be prohibited, they said, from marching in the annual celebration of Irish heritage. And she said, it's really hurtful. Nobody likes to feel rejected from their community. And she's 23 years old. Jim Smith, director of Miss Staten Island Scholarship Pageants, relayed the news to Linsalata after being contacted by parade president Larry Cummings, who was allegedly concerned for her safety. And he says, I was stunned by the whole thing. I wasn't prepared. He just said, we're worried about her safety, like he's doing us a favor. It's a bit of an excuse coming out as bi. Oh, you're scared for her safety. Regardless, Linsalata attended the Sunday parade as a spectator wearing her sash, as well as a rainbow scarf and a heart-shaped sticker. you know, representing the community. Her presence reportedly sparked applause by other onlookers. Many also sported rainbow apparel as a peaceful protest of the anti-LGBTQ ban. Staten Island's St. Patrick's Day event is the only one in New York City that bans LGBTQ organizations from participating. Though the Manhattan Parade, the largest celebration of Irish heritage in the world, only began allowing queer groups in 2015. That's fascinating. I did not know that. Wow. So something needs to be done.
Yeah.
In addition to L'Enchilada, two Staten Island High School marching bands were prohibited from marching after refusing to take off their Rainbow Heart stickers. Okay, something needs to be done here. Staten Island, get with it. Let's move on to this story, an update about California, or former California representative, Katie Hill. We all know that whole story, the notorious throuple relationship.
Yeah, this is a good update.
Well, Page Six exclusively is reporting that she is seeing Playboy writer Alex Thomas.
Yeah, she got her a girlfriend, honey.
Now she admits she has a new girlfriend.
I love it. Yes. Love to see it.
On Monday, New York Magazine published a story saying Hill, who's 32, started dating that Playboy political correspondent. It's pretty hot. Thomas in the middle of 2019. A few months after the end of her three-way relationship with her now estranged husband, Kenny Heslip, and that younger female campaign staffer, Morgan Desjardins. Hill told the magazine she fell in love with Desjardins and said she was with Thomas when her nude pictures were leaked online in October. We reported, of course, about the story. It was everywhere.
We talked all about it.
Hill turned to Thomas and said, "It's over," the magazine said. The piece also revealed that Thomas prevented Hill from a suicide attempt in her bathtub. Wow. So the writer really was there for her, and she stormed into her apartment grabbing the knife she'd scraped her wrists with. Oh, yikes. That's pretty... a pretty raw moment to share.
That was intense.
Sorry, yeah.
Don't apologize. You're telling the story.
She resigned amid a House investigation into her relationship with a male staffer, Graham Kelly. And Hill also told the magazine, "I'm new at being single and I'm seeing a few people." Okay.
Okay, so speaking of politics,
I want to know the updates,
updates, and there's things happening. It's Super Tuesday. Everyone is voting. States around the country are voting. And I am watching CNN while we're doing the show, obviously. And why are people still, as votes are coming in each state that are voting, Tulsi Gabbard is really getting votes. And I don't know who in their right mind is actually doing this, but people are really voting for Tulsi Gabbard, and it's quite irking me. But here's some of the latest updates. So Sanders, it's basically saying that Sanders' strongest support in his own home state of Vermont were those who identify as very liberal, those under the age of 45, and voters who want a candidate who can bring about needed change. Now, what I found to be quite hilarious about this update is Whoopi Goldberg. She lived in Vermont for a very long time, and she was on the View this morning, and they were kind of discussing about, can Bernie Sanders actually do the job necessary to get Donald Trump out of the office? And she actually brought up, she said, "I lived in Vermont for a very long time while, you know, Bernie Sanders has been doing what he's been doing." And she said, "All these things that he's talking about, I haven't seen free school. I haven't seen all these things in my home state."
Really?
And she said, there's barely really any black people there, and so she hasn't seen any of the things that he's promising.
Weird.
So she's not sure if she can, and so basically
trust him.
And so she was basically giving her own insight, saying, you know, that she's going for Biden. And I think we all kind of knew that if you watched The View and all that stuff. Here's another update. Bloomberg,
I just saw this. I'm on BuzzFeed right
American
now.
Samoa, which is actually the only place voting on Super Tuesday that he did not visit. So this is American Samoa, and according to that, he just won it. The South Pacific territory is the only Super Tuesday contest.
And weirder, even make it weirder, he won right over Tulsi Gabbard.
I mean, yeah. Now, these are the early leaders in three states. Massachusetts, Biden, Sanders, and Warren. Massachusetts is Warren's home state, so if she does not win there, that's going to be quite telling. Oklahoma, Biden and Sanders with 37 delegates. Maine, Biden and Sanders with 24 delegates. And I forgot to mention the delegates, 91 delegates to be won for either Biden, Sanders, or Warren. So those are some updates from the latest coming out of Super Tuesday. As we continue the show and going on, we will continue to give you those high-level things.
And remember, you can stay right here on Channel Q, because not only on our show will we be bringing you all those breaking news and updates, but also after the show, We've got election night and late night with Jared Hill and Ryan, my lovely co-host here, will be there. We have an event at our sound space. Plus, of course, we'll be broadcasting live too.
And Joe Biden just won Alabama, by the way, just to put that out there. He's won three southern states, which is pretty huge.
Okay. Well, coming up, what you should know before you book your next flight during the coronavirus.
Yeah, we're switching gears.
Yeah, we're going there next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Now, as the coronavirus continues to spread around the world, it brings up the question, are you supposed to travel? What do you do if you want to travel? Should you cancel your travel?
Well, actually, I'm going on a trip very soon in June, and obviously I know we're in the beginning stages of
June.
This thing. Yes, but you don't know where it's going.
Oh,
you don't know where it's happening. Ryan, you don't know where it's coming
at. One international trip, and he's like, 6 months later.
Come on, I'm well-versed. I'm cultured.
You are.
No, but I am going on a travel, but my mom has been freaking out about it. She's been texting me and saying, well, hey, could you make sure, let them know, can you get a 100% refund if the coronavirus gets even worse? You never know. You have to plan ahead.
I'm sure they would do something like that.
So,
anyway.
You never know. There are questions that are happening that I'm very nervous about while thinking about traveling.
Yeah, well, some people are traveling like tomorrow, not in 6 months. They need to figure it out.
First of all, it doesn't matter the length of time. As long as you are educated.
Exactly. That's why we're here. Gil Antolin is joining us right now. He's the president and founder of Luxury World Traveler to answer all of our questions.
So he's a well-versed traveler?
Yes, he's a travel expert.
He's very luxury.
And an influencer also. Gil, welcome to the show.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
Great. So obviously you also help people that aren't just doing luxury travel, just because we want to cover all the bases here.
Just one?
Because, you know, I'm not necessarily doing first class all the time.
I don't know, Shira. You're the one that went to Columbia.
Yeah, I did an economy.
I made
some friends. You know that.
Well, we're going to have to work on that, Shira. We're going to have to work on that.
Thank you. I'm going to keep you too. I'm going to DM you. Okay. So should people avoid travel to China, South Korea, Italy, and Iran right now? Because that's where a lot of this news is coming from, or is that just are we using that as a reason not to travel to those places?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Those are actually the four hotspots that there have been strong travel advisories against that.
Mm-hmm.
I also own a luxury travel agency, so we get up-to-the-minute travel advisories that are being put out. And those four countries, at all costs, you should definitely avoid, just because there's hotspots there, which means there's over 200 infected people, and it could be highly contagious. So if at all possible, those are four countries you kind of want to stay away from right now.
I was always also thinking the tickets would be really cheap to go to Italy right now.
But I don't even know.
You might get coronavirus.
If you can even look them up, because it feels like people they're cutting off travel. It's not happening.
Yeah, no. American Airlines and Delta just stopped flying to Milan. They're still flying to Rome. So it seems going to be hard to get over there. And then as this thing progresses, I think more and more airports are going to be affected.
So what do you think this means for, because obviously we're seeing this also affect the stock market, and we're seeing it, really affect people's pockets. What do you think this is going to do for just traveling in general? Because now it feels like, this can happen at any time, at any moment. Yeah. There's a lot of fears around
traveling
at this point.
Yeah.
For the travel industry. How is this impacting you all?
Yeah, it's actually had a really bad effect on our travel division. I'd say about 90% of our international trips have canceled, even if they're not going to one of those four hotspots, just because, at this point, it's so hard to it's so hard to get very accurate information. And I have a friend that works at the CDC in Atlanta, and he's like, look, once one person reaches the country and leaves, there's really no telling how many people can be infected. So, a lot of people are just deciding to, not travel internationally. We have had a ton of inquiries in the United States and Central America and Mexico pick up. People tend to think that's still going to be a really safe haven. But as far as going to Southeast Asia, Italy, Iran, and in the Koreas, Japan area, everyone that we've had that had booked has canceled at this point. And I just saw an article today that they might actually postpone the Tokyo Olympics to October, November-ish, depending on how bad this really gets.
Wow.
It's crazy. What if you did get tickets or you had planned a trip? What happens if you cancel? Do you get full refunds?
It depends on how you book. Some of the times, the absolute lowest fares on hotels, resorts are ones where there is no refund for cancellation. So I would really highly suggest, if anyone's going to be booking, make sure if you're looking at the app, we've all done it, right? You pull up Expedia, Travelocity, Orbitz, boom, whatever the cheapest room comes up, it's usually people's eyes gravitate to, especially when they're on a budget. But those are typically the rooms where you're not able to get a refund. So I would really highly advise about people just being really, being really cautious and really reading the fine print, because you don't want to get stuck on that. As far as flights, most of the carriers are not, unless they're canceling flights, are not giving refunds either, so you still have to pay change fees.
And that's my thing. There's no clauses in that where it's like if there's like public emergencies or if there's
a health crisis.
Yeah, health crisis. That okay, well, we'll work with you or give you vouchers to come back again at another time when everything's kind of So it feels like there's just nothing that can be done, or it's just like, oh, I lost on that.
Yeah, I mean, if depending on how long you want to sit on hold with customer service and how far up the ladder you want to go, I'm sure there's things that can be done. But your first attempt is probably not going to lead to the results that you're looking for. So
American Airlines.
Another point.
Yeah, what?
American Airlines. They gave me a $100 just like gift card thing for like after allowing me to sit into the airport for over like a half of a day. Mm. Barely, I had to beg for that, and they only gave me a $12 voucher, and that didn't even cover the food. Tried it.
Yeah, and then one of the other things, because our company sells travel insurance, a lot of people are asking about that. There is actually, at this point, zero carriers that are covering coronavirus under travel insurance. So even if you buy travel insurance and you go on a trip and you contract it, they're not going to pay for you to get out of there.
Yeah. So, that's crazy.
Wow. So it's like, if you do it, if you decide to make that decision yourself, it's on you.
It's on you, and that's why we're seeing a lot of American travelers just staying within the U.S. or Mexico. That way they're, a couple hours away from the United States should anything happen. And I just think, right now, just to be safe, if you have trips planned, if you're going to Southeast Asia, I would probably advise about canceling it. Central and South America and Mexico seem to be pretty okay in the United States, And the other thing to think about, too, is, if you already have a cold, if you have the flu, if you already have some kind of illness, those are the kind of people that are having a really big problem once they contract coronavirus, because your system's not able to fight it the way that it should be. So if you're sick at all, I would highly suggest staying at home until you get better.
I'm not sick. I was sick, but Cheryl got me sick before this. And then all of a sudden, she went to Colombia like 3 days ago, and then she want to come back and I got the corona.
Okay,
she's going to be the prime candidate for the corona.
Hey,
not
how
me.
Dare you?
I'm just saying. She's the one that loves to travel.
You are not nice.
She loves to travel.
Gil, thank you so much for joining us today. Yeah, Gil and I are going to plan some weekend trips stateside.
I don't know why you acting like I'm not involved in
because,
this.
Because, you just made fun of me with traveling and giving
guess
you
guess what? Me and Gil's talked before you got in back in the studio.
Okay.
We already set something up.
Good.
Thank you, Gils.
Yeah, Gil.
All right, guys.
Nice talking to you.
Take care.
Yeah, thank you. Gil Antolin, again, is the president and founder of Luxury World Traveler. Check them out online and figure out if you want to travel. They have some great deals and great advice on traveling. Okay, coming up, Twitter just got a new right-leaning investor. So what does that mean for the future of the social media platform? That's next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Now, Twitter has got a new investor.
Oh, God.
And a questionable one. Paul Singer, who's the founder of Elliott Management, is also a popularly known as a Republican mega donor.
Yes.
And he's purchased a large stake in Twitter. And he might be trying to push some changes to the platform, including the removal of the CEO, Jack Dorsey.
Now, I know this idea of him coming on, and you're hearing these reports about them trying to get rid of Jack, and also I feel like the extreme right side, or just the right side in general, conservatives, they are feeling like they are being left out of the conversation. There are some biases where basically some people are feeling like, oh, I don't have the freedom of speech to be racist without getting banned off of this platform. Mm-hmm. Screw that. I need to have that right. And so we're seeing, people like him getting involved to kind of try to see if they can balance the sides of the two, but it doesn't really know. I'm not sure if there's really going to be a balance of it if someone like that comes in.
Well, the concern is that it will become just like a mega version of what what they're saying the progressive left has.
It would be Trump's site.
And it's going to turn the whole platform around. Hopefully, what I would like, because Twitter's always been very democratic. They've stayed that way.
I don't know.
Well, more so, I would say, all right, compared to all the other platforms like Instagram, Facebook, YouTube.
I feel like Twitter's the most harmful.
Well, that's because they've let everyone just go all out.
No, but I think like, that's meaning it. They're not letting every... Well, they are not letting
They don't have an algorithm. Like, you just see things as they pop up. They don't, like, censor... Like,
but I also
censor
don't think
people
they do.
Like
I think they
Instagram,
also
Facebook, and YouTube do.
Well, I do think they also censor the wrong people sometimes. So they'll censor... Instead of censoring the people that are actually harmful, they'll censor the people that are reporting them. It's like, it's quite... You know, the system's not all the way there yet.
Because they've always wanted to keep it open for everyone. So
which
they've
is a
tried
problem.
To do it differently.
Which is kind
it,
of a
it
problem.
It brings up some issues. All right. Yeah. Well, Chad Felix Green joins us, who's a writer for The Federalist. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. So what do you think about the latest news? Do you think it's going to make a difference for the platform?
I'm hoping that it'll make a difference in terms of just... creating some diversity in terms of the interests. Just for clarity, you know, Paul Singer is a Republican donor, mega donor, but the last Republican he donated for was Mitt Romney. So even on the pro-Trump side, there's some suspicion about him and if he would even censor the president because he has been hostile towards Donald Trump in the past. So it's not a clear-cut we have this new guy coming in. He's going to shake everything up. And actually, I think his interest in removing Jack is more on the profitability side because, you know, let's be honest, Jack's focus for the last couple of years has been on creating this healthy conversation mm-hmm. concept rather than profitability for the company. So I don't see it as a huge, just suddenly, you know, conservatives are going to feel validated. I think it's more of, here's somebody who is sort of an outsider of the Silicon Valley worldview who's going to have influence, which means that they're going to have to look at different things than they have in the past. And I think that is positive.
Well, I think to kind of talk about that in some ways, to challenge the idea of even though he's trying to create more of a profitability of Twitter, which, yes, it's a business. It needs to have that angle. I get it. But oftentimes mm-hmm. that is kind of met with the messaging of a lot of Republicans who just care about the capitalist angle. It doesn't really care about the kind of the freedom of speech or the open conversation angle that Twitter is now. And I think that, right. that there's a possibility where that can be at the detriment of them if they are just trying to worry about how to make money. That's taking something special away from the platform that could also isolate a lot of the users that are there.
Oh, absolutely. I started on Twitter in 2012-ish. And, you know, I went from just a random person who just popped into some conversations to building a writing career. And I was able to do that because of a natural progression of democracy, essentially. I spoke my opinions, I got fans, I interacted with people, and it grew naturally. And, you know, none of us want to see more ads popping up all over the place. It's almost impossible to read a news article online anymore without waiting for 15 ads to go away. So I get that aspect of it.
Yeah.
What I think the fear is that I've seen from a lot on the left is they're worried that mega donor Republican means that kind of what I heard you say in the beginning was they're going to let all the bad people back in that we've been trying to protect from.
Which I think is a valid feeling, especially in the climate that we're in. We're seeing Donald Trump, and just because he donates to Mitt Romney.
But is there a way we can have a platform that allows everyone to be there while not taking advantage and abusing it?
Mm.
I think so. And this is an area where just it's an ideological thing of I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Bishop Talbert Swan. He has 138,000 followers. He's a very...
Yes,
big
I am
voice.
Familiar with him. He's very he can be very toxic.
Yeah, and he's, you know, I'm a gay Jew. He loves to call me a white supremacist when he notices
he
me.
He sure
you
does.
Know.
Hey, I'm a Jew.
Thing. Yeah. we're everywhere. And but his voice is one that I think is harmful, but it's more harmful if it's hidden. I want people to see that perspective to know what
yeah.
we're fighting against. So my perspective is I don't want people doxing anyone. I don't want people putting a picture of your kids out and saying, go get this person because I disagree with them. I've experienced that. I've had my synagogue was targeted for abuse from somebody who found my association because I worked for a charity that was associated to them and targeted my synagogue years ago.
Wow.
So those are the safety concerns. What worries me, though, is I'm a transgender person, and I'm critical of current transgender thinking in terms of gender identity. If I speak that, which is my truth, if I speak that, that can be considered dangerous and harmful. And the current way Twitter works, my voice is the one that gets suppressed. And that's what I am hoping is, and when I say a balance in my article is, I want us to be able to have uncomfortable conversations without it being just one side is being called harmful, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no,
I think it is interesting. Yeah.
You want to, okay.
Well, I have one more question, and obviously you have.
Yeah, so we're going to continue this conversation, but also after the break, if you are voting today, you may have noticed some new technology, but who are these companies who are cropping up to take over the polls? And the big question is, can we trust them? We're continuing that next.
Let's go there with Sharon and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, we are back. We're talking about how Twitter has a new investor who happens to be very right-leaning, and it's scaring a lot of people because they think now the platform is going to become like mega country.
Well, yeah, that's some concerns, back, which I found. Yeah. I feel like it's very valid.
But I love our guest's take on this, where is it possible to have a platform where we can all exist without possibly it being something that's dangerous? Chad Felix Green is back with us, who's a writer for The Federalist. Thanks for being here. So before the break, you were talking about being as a trans person and what and mm-hmm. you know, being on the platform, why you think it's important for it to be open for all sides. Can you get more into that?
Absolutely. You know, I'm somebody who I have a lot of experience in not being like everyone else. I understand what it's like to be a marginalized voice. And at the same time, because I'm a political conservative, I understand what being a marginalized voice is even more specifically.
Wow, plot twist.
I'm sorry?
No, we didn't know that you're a political. We had no clue, which I love that. We're having a very good conversation. We had no clue that you're a political conservative. So that's actually quite amazing, because I think when you're talking about queerness and just either mm-hmm. being a part of the community, no one ever relates those messages to also conservatism. And no one's seeing that unless you're talking about log cabin Republicans, right?
Right.
And so there's this idea when you're talking about and you're being critical of people that are marginalized, and you're speaking and saying you're obviously a marginalized person because of your transness and however else you intersect. But I think there's not a double standard to that, but there's something to be said about obviously you existing in your own conservatism, in which is also part of a group that doesn't really even accept who you are as a person. And mm-hmm. it feels like when you're really talking about, for me as a queer person of color, and even for queer, trans women of color, there's moments where those voices should not be silenced just because, they feel like they have to deal with people that are attacking them on a daily basis, or even when it comes to racial relations. It feels like you should not have to open up an app. You should not have to open up an app and feel like attacked, or you just have to like be okay with people. Oh, everyone should exist here. There needs to be a line drawn,
And I I understand. And what I experience is sort of the opposite of that. The other side, I would say, is when I open up the app, all my friends are conservatives. I have evangelical friends. I have people that have been extremely kind to me and my husband. And I've been talking with them for 10 years. They are my family.
I love that.
And the people that are cruel to me, the people that come into my mentions and tell me that I'm a terrible, evil, awful person, are LGBT people who view me as self-loathing. They see me as a traitor. They see me as a bad person because they don't fully understand what my politics are. They just see me as a caricature. But because they can come in and say, you're a self-loathing, awful person, it gives me the opportunity to say, why do you think that?
And you start a conversation.
And it gives me the opportunity to, exactly. And when you start to say, here's the line of opinions or views that we think are dangerous, we're going to suppress them, we're going to block them, we're going to remove them, then you remove the opportunity for those conversations.
Well, I don't agree with people. Here's the thing. I'm always about, and I think the premise of our show is called Let's Go There, right?
It's
about talking to people on either side of either aisle and having these tough, difficult conversations. When you're doing it, you have to be coming up to the moments where you're being held, you're holding yourself accountable to where you play at, especially in politics and where you're at in the platform that you've obviously built for yourself. And I think it's interesting, you know, obviously if there's liberals saying that you're self-loathing, I don't think anyone should be expressing in that way. But I do wonder, why do people feel like they why are people holding you accountable? What is it something that is there something in the lack of the communication? Is it that people talking about their own intersectionalities of where they're coming from with them being queer or a person of color when they're seeing someone who also identifies in that same group, but they are more so kind of dealing in the privileges of who they are because
they don't feel supported.
Yeah, they don't feel supported. And then also, if I'm looking at your Twitter, you're white. Mm-hmm. So there's already a level of privilege there where you are trans, but you still have an upper level when it comes to voices that are more silent than yours. So maybe they're holding you more so accountable to say, well, why are you staying there when you know they're not accepting of me? If I'm a trans person who just got kicked out of the military, you're a conservative. You are someone that is like okay with this.
Right. And I think the reason is because we're not okay with it. Mm-hmm. There are many transgender people all across the spectrum who are conservative. And it's not in spite of anything. It's because of how we see the world and how we see freedom and how we see, you know, I don't look at, you know, a big distinction is I don't consider myself a white person because I don't know what that means for me whatsoever. I don't consider if I see somebody who is black, my first thing isn't to consider black with them. I see them as a person.
But that's you. It's not that's like negating the. But that's also, and that's, I'm a white person too. So
yeah, that's true.
But I'm saying I feel like, and having been now around conversations and around, you know, communities where I get to hear what they're thinking and their experience, mm-hmm. I feel like you say that because you're like that's your experience without negating the reality of the situation, how so many people don't look at it that way.
Right. And I think that's the core of this is we don't fully understand each other. And the hostility I experience is that someone will come in from the outside and they'll say, but Republicans hate you. Why are you Republican? And I have to start from a position of you don't understand who we are. You don't understand who my friends are. You don't understand what my politics are.
But they're
all
understanding
you're seeing is a reflection.
But what they're seeing, guess what? And this is something that people have told me, like when growing up, birds of a feather flock together. So when you are following an example that's all over plastered, you have a president who is saying the things that they're saying, who is actually attacking the communities that you're a part of. I guess it is tough and it's hard to see other people being like, okay, I want to understand. I want to have these conversations. But if you're coming at it with that kind of, I guess, point of view, it can be difficult for them to understand in some ways. Which, I mean, I'm enjoying this conversation,
I think,
by the way.
Yeah, this is an interesting, you know, we always, there's always twists here on the show. We always go there. But so, like, I think in the end, Twitter, like, there are tools that where you can, if you have trolls, you can always just say, like, block people. I think that's, like, where the responsibility of the platform is, not to necessarily throw people off, but say, like, hey, if you feel like someone is abusing this platform and you don't want to interact with them, there's a way that you can call them out. Mm. Right? Isn't, like, that's what it is, and they need to be better at doing that.
And I agree. And I think, you know, one of my core things is imagine it's 2013 and you got into an argument with somebody and Twitter permanently banned you because let's say you crossed a line or just in that particular situation, Twitter decided that you were being toxic. So they banned you. Now you no longer have access to participate in a worldwide communication platform that drives the news cycle. It drives elections. You can't participate any longer because of one instance that happened, you know,
well, you could log in as
ago.
Another name.
But,
I mean,
no, but I also don't think, to be quite honest, and we have to wrap this up, but I also don't think that Twitter is a place where you have nuanced conversations. And a lot of those conversations are very nuanced you have to actually have kind of like those moments where you are understanding because Twitter does not have tone. So a lot of things that can be said are taken out of contract. And I also don't know your politics as well. And just because you say you're conservative, I don't really know what that really means. I think this is it's an interesting conversation.
If you abuse a platform, then like they have a right, like meaning I've been on platforms as a publisher and we do something like even like something that's not even really considered abusive, but we got flagged and so we have to deal with those consequences.
There's an accountability.
Yeah, there's an accountability. It sucks, but it is what it is because that we're in their space. We're in the planet. Unfortunately.
And just real quick, to what it means for me as a conservative is I want all of your voices to have the same opportunity to be heard. That is the core of who I am and core of what everyone that I know who is conservative believes.
Well, then why? What attracts you to the conservative? Yeah, but what attracts you to being conservative then? Which I'm interested in knowing.
I definitely sound like that's a conservative.
Yeah, okay, because I am a conservative because it's really the concept of liberty, liberal, ironically, is I want to see everyone's point of view. I don't want to try to perfect humanity by pushing people out. I want people to be able to
But
make
what is
their
it that the people that are right now representing that at the highest level, how do
they're
you
not,
connect?
They're not showing that.
And see, and that's what's fascinating is that's what I think is I think they do. I think that most of the voices
right
that I see.
Yeah, like I'm interested to know who
who's someone that you're thinking that does right now.
Well, you won't like it, but President Trump is somebody I think who is very open in that way. He just promoted a gay man to, you know, be the head of intelligence, not because he's gay, not in spite of the fact he's gay, but because he's a good person for the fit.
So
that's what conservative is.
It does feel like, Chad, though, it does feel like you're cherry picking in some way. It's like we're ignoring the terrible things that he says on the internet daily or his actions and what we're seeing is and electing someone or having a vice president like a Mike Pence or just everything that he's done in these 4 years. It feels like we're cherry picking to only match your shared experience, which you can, you know, relate to and say, oh, he's such a great guy. Instead of looking at the full picture, you're only looking at the corner of the picture that you think is painted nicely. And so,
well, I was never a Trump supporter, and I've only begun to support him in the past year or so because I moved beyond headlines and his, you know, blustering New York persona, and I saw what he did and how he treated people. And when you look at how he treats people in real life, you realize the kind of person he is. And I see that as a positive thing.
Yeah.
I think he gets trapped in the scandals and everything so much that we never see any of that. And it's because I'm friends with people who know Vice President Mike Pence, who know President Trump, who see him.
But I can be friends. So, like, I'm friends with people, or I've known people, I've known people, mm-hmm. specifically men that, or people that I'm like, oh, I think they're nice, but ultimately they've said things that don't align with the values I have. So they could be nice or cool, or be good, like, fathers or sons or friends, but then ultimately not, their values and their actions don't reflect. What I care about or support the communities that I want to fight for and care about.
So here's the thing, because we do have to wrap this up.
Absolutely.
I would love, I mean,
this
have
is a
enjoyed
fascinating
this
conversation.
Incredible conversation.
And we appreciate you.
I do sharing. Want to say we should be paying attention to marginalized and people, marginalized groups and people of color. Because if you are having a large amount of people saying, guess what, this person is hurting me, it's creating an environment where I can't live and be my truest form or safe as a citizen here, even if they are fighting to become citizens or trying to fight for everything that's happening in the immigration climate as well, there's something to be said about that. Those are experiences that are valid, and we have to just listen and open ourselves up to have conversations like these. So, Chad Felix Green, I appreciate you for joining us. We really would love to have you back on the show. If you are in LA, please come by the studio. But you're amazing. Tell everyone where they can find you on social.
Chad Felix G on Twitter is my place. I started writing for the Postmillennial, which is a really open Canadian newspaper, and I write for the Federalist, so I'm easy to Google.
All right. Well,
thanks
again.
We really appreciate
thank you.
It.
Now, coming up, we've got more Super Tuesday updates, so stay tuned for that. I'm just taking in that.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, Channel Q.
Oh, all right, we are back, and we're about to get into some what's trending in the news, some Super Tuesday updates. But Shar Gisselle is right now with us as Ryan heads over to the Sound Space to be part of that election night in late night with Jarrett Hill after our show, the special. So stay tuned for that. We just came off a crazy interview, a very interesting one, to say the least. You can listen to that again on our podcast if you want to, if you are compelled to.
A drink in your hand when you revisit it.
I mean, it had many twists and turns. We were with Chad Felix Green, who's a writer for The Federalist. We were actually talking about Twitter and how they have this conservative investor. And then we were going to get into all the technology for the election and the polls, but we didn't even get to talk about
that. But you know what? Now we can quickly touch on it because the technology I thought was great.
Okay.
Okay. I voted early this morning.
I was going to get your take on the interview, but I think no.
Well, I mean, I think if you know me well enough and through the radio, you already know what I think.
Shaw was just...
Yeah, because, I mean, the cognitive dissonance that it takes to perform that level of... whatever that was just now is astonishing to me, and I just don't have it's emotionally laborsome for me to begin to unpack that. But I did like the technology this morning.
Okay, so what tech was it? Because I didn't get to vote.
Right,
because
you're old Canada. Mm-hmm. Hey. But anyway, it's like an iPad, right? And they give you a blank piece of paper, and like on the left side, well on the right side of this machine, it sucks in the piece of paper, and it's like touch screen on the iPad where you who you vote for, and then it spits the paper back out with all of your selections, and you make sure that there's no error, and then you reinsert the paper. It's almost like an ATM. It was almost like a voting ATM, just with a larger screen and touch screen. It was fascinating compared to, you know, the old Scantron ways that we used to do it. You know, when you grab the little pin and fill in the bubble.
Well, we know what happened with Iowa and all these like new apps and startups. And the big issue is that they get these companies involved and they don't do a lot of research on them.
Yeah.
And then these people, they do a bid to be part of this. This is a big deal for probably a startup, right?
Oh, to be part of the Silicon Valley election process.
Oh, yeah, because the next company to really own this will be very valuable.
Yeah.
But they're not necessarily ready and they have to scramble to be ready for this big thing, and then we get Iowa.
I look at it as a blessing and a curse, especially when we factor in voter suppression in a lot of brown and black communities. But it's like, with technology, it's like, yay, that was so quick, easy, and painless. But it's also like, oh, the hackerization of it all. It has so much potential to be tampered with.
Yeah,
and the electronic form, even though it was a physical piece of paper, it was still electronically done. That's how you voted this morning. But overall, I did think that it was cool. I was like, this
is
new.
Were there lines? Was it hard?
No. Well, you know, Shar is an early bird, honey. I don't do lines, okay? I knew that it was going to be a zoo today. So I got up and I worked out around 7 a.m. Around 8:30, I went to my local polling place. Shout out to Occidental.
Love it.
The college. I went to my polling place and I was in and out in less than 30 minutes, honestly. I already knew what I was going in there for. I knew who I was in there for.
Amazing. All right.
And I got in and got out.
Well, let's go to some results right now. Minnesota, Joe Biden got 42%, 42.27%. 7%. Bernie Sanders is second at 27.84%. Then we have Maine, of course. Joe Biden was that was really close between Joe Biden and Bernie. Joe Biden at 37.55%, Bernie at 33.28%. Vermont, of course, Bernie Sanders won that one. Massachusetts, Joe Biden right now won that by 35%, Bernie Sanders at 27%. And Virginia, Joe Biden.
So, Bernie has Texas.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I'm looking on CNN right now.
North Carolina, Joe Biden. Tennessee, Joe Biden. Alabama, Joe Biden. Arkansas, Joe Biden.
Oh, now hold on now. Okay, what? Biden.
Oklahoma, Joe Biden. Texas, yeah, as you mentioned, Bernie. Are you surprised about that?
Honestly, yes. I am surprised that Bernie got Texas because Texas is a big old red state. And I don't think, but you know what? Yeah. When I think about Democrats in Texas, I specifically think of Austin. And when I think of Austin, Texas, I think Bernie Sanders. So it makes sense.
Well, Austin, though, is such a smaller part of Texas.
I know, but I'm just saying when I think like Texan Democrats, I think Austin, artsy, and I think about my own neighborhood in Los Angeles, and it has a lot of parallels with Austin. And my neighborhood is riddled with Bernie Sanders paraphernalia everywhere. I'm like the anomaly standing out because I'm not a Bernie girl.
Well, Colorado, no surprise here, Bernie Sanders won that 36%. Michael Bloomberg right under him in Colorado.
Whoa.
At 24%.
Well, that is disheartening. Bloomberg, I don't want him anywhere near any percentages unless it's the lesser of the percents.
And of course, we're still waiting for more results. Utah, hopefully, and California soon. But this is going to be lasting until the wee hours of the evening. We have, though, a special election night in late night.
I can't
right
wait.
Here.
We're all going to be there. So
yeah, we are all going to be there.
It's going to be fun.
Of course, now we're going to be getting into switching gears because we've been talking a lot of politics. But of course, don't worry, if there are there is any breaking news, we will be covering it right here on Channel Q and Let's Go There. But our question of the day is very interesting, and it comes from an advice column where a mom wanted to know if she needed to teach her five-year-old about race. So we're asking you, when is the best time to have a conversation about race with your kids? You can sound off on social media and give us a call, 833-77-CALL-Q. That's 833-772-2557.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, we have a pretty interesting and timely question of the day coming up because it comes from a parent who signs off as colorblind. And if you listen to one of our previous interviews on the show, you might understand the connection. But this parent wanted to know how soon is too soon to have a conversation about race with their child. And actually, we posted this on social media. You can still vote on our social right now on Twitter, at LGT Show. We asked you, when is the best time to have a conversation about race with your kids? We'll be going to the results and some other responses in a moment. But let's go to this question, then I want to get your take, Char. Okay. This person says, I'm guessing our five-year-old is celebrating Black History Month at school because the other day in the bathtub, he blurted out, "Who is Barack Obama? Tell me about him." Okay. It was cute, but I'm struggling with how to explain Obama's historical significance in an age-appropriate way. My son has no racial consciousness. He's biracial himself, and we live in a very mixed neighborhood where whites are the minority. The decision to live here was prompted by our economic situation, and while that has improved, we are in no hurry to move because we have come to like the area and his school. Now, our son, this person continues, has played with a mix of kids since he was born and has never said anything, at least to us, along the lines of X is Black or Y is Chinese. To him, he's either friends with someone or he isn't, and that's all he seems to care about. I don't want to lose that just yet, and that's why I'm not sure how to best present the information to him. At the same time, I want to encourage him to develop an interest in this as well as history of all kinds. And then this is from colorblind, a better way to say colorblind, because obviously this person is, I would assume, a more, hopefully more, maybe not as discriminatory as the last person.
Well, I mean, or possibly it makes sense because the last sentence for me is what saved the writer for this, because she does go on to say, you know, she wants to encourage her son to develop an interest in history of all kinds. But I understand. I mean, my advice to this, honestly, would just to be, you have to meet a child at a child's level. But you also, I think we do a disservice when we underestimate kids mm-hmm. and what they can and the information that they can process.
And if he's asking about something, why are you so scared to answer?
Right. Why
honestly?
Are you so scared to go there?
And it's, yeah, saying.
You see the pun?
Yes.
Why are you so scared to go there?
Thank you. Because, yeah, all he has to say, it was historic because he was the first Black president.
Yes.
And that is meaningful.
And it is.
And then let the kid answer why.
A lot of the problem with colorblindness is I feel like a lot of people, and I'll, for context of the conversation, I'll say white people because this is who I see online and in life that are kind of leading the colorblind charge. But the colorblind charge is what? I'm about to go there. I think that it's like one of those things where the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? I feel like it's an approach to like level the playing field and we're all, you know, one. But the harsh reality of the world is it just does not work that way. Mm-hmm. And there's also beauty in our differences that deserve to be celebrated.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that going about the world teaching your kid to be colorblind is doing a great disservice because at one point or another, they're going to learn either nicely or harshly that we are not the same. And it also takes away from a lot of the struggles that a lot of people of color do face. I mean, the writer even says that they're in a... they're in a mixed neighborhood, but it's predominantly Black, but it's not...
A minority white.
Right, but it's not an affluent neighborhood.
So even like picking that out is like...
It speaks to systemic oppression. Mm. It speaks to redlining. It speaks to a lot of different tiers within the way society works. And it deserves to be noted. So just because your child has this kumbaya type approach to life, which nothing is wrong with, but you need to teach your children to celebrate everyone's differences. Even when I was growing up in school, I remember there there was someone from Kenya who came in who spoke Swahili. I could be, remember being second grade. We had a Chinese woman come in and celebrate the New Year. And the way that it was framed and those lessons being taught were encouraged, because when I looked to my left and my right, I had Chinese classmates. And even as a Black American, it's different from African American.
Yeah.
So I had classmates that were also Nigerian.
So it's almost like
you get what I'm saying?
Not educating people. It's not about like creating differences and separations, it's actually just creating more understanding, compassion, and curiosity.
Yeah.
And being aware that even if someone is, it's one color or like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like Black.
Society isn't monolithic.
Yeah. There's so many different dimensions to it.
Yeah.
And not having that conversation will make them not even see that.
Which it's causes almost ignorance, problems.
Right.
Which causes problems, because when they can't see it, they can afford to put up blinders, which makes them less empathetic. Because how are you going through that as a Black woman? We're all the same. And that is not true. It's just
That's
not
interesting.
True.
All right.
Look at the statistics, people. The numbers are there.
Yeah.
Look at even the wage gap. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, we're not all on the same
playing
field.
I think the whole idea of it being monolithic is really important to touch on. Because if you're not even having a conversation about, like, that everyone is different and everyone has their own story, and, like, being open to those stories. Mm-hmm. And, like, I mean, listen, it is challenging. It's challenging being a parent in this
I don't think
time.
This is challenging.
Okay.
I think you meet a child at a child's level. You're not bringing, listen, when you're talking to a five-year-old, you're not bringing, you know, your college-level racial studies class to the five-year-old. It is an easy way that you can break down who Barack H. Obama is, the 44th president of the United States of America, and it matters. Black History Month matters because Black people helped build this nation. Quite literally.
And if you don't,
like, we could go into that conversation too.
And if you don't teach that, then you're going to discount, dismiss, delete all the hard work that they've done.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is in 2020 and beyond, these conversations are being, if they're not being had in your household, the access to information and in these classrooms, it's being had. This is not 1987 anymore. I don't know why I picked that year, but I'm just saying in 2020, things, people are ripping the Band-Aid off. So.
Well, Tar on social media said, one thing I would add is that it should be conversations. Kids don't always get it the first time you say something. You have to remind and reinforce. By the time they get to kindergarten or preschool, if that is an option where you are, they should know and understand race. Now, you could continue to respond to us on social media at LGT Show. Right now, we'll be also going to the results of our question. Again, it is, and you should check it out on social media. When is the best time to have a conversation about race with your kids? At LGT Show is where to find us. And we'll be back with our Yas Queen of the Day.
Yes.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, we're getting into our Yas Queen of the Day. A little change from the political.
You mean our Yas Queen.
Yas Queen.
You got to add some drama and gravitas to that, Shira.
Yas Queen.
Right, yeah.
I'm sorry if that hurt your ears. So we got two here. One just came out a few hours ago on Twitter.
Okay.
Two women won the Pritzker Prize for the first time ever. You might be wondering, what's the Pritzker Prize? Well, it is basically like the Nobel of architecture. And it was awarded to Dublin architects Yvonne Farrell and Shelley McNamara. And they are the first female pair to ever get that prize.
Oh.
So that's definitely a yes.
For architecture.
Yeah, we like to, you know, put a spotlight on other industries and firsts.
Yes.
That's a big deal. So, yes, queen to them.
I have a yes, queen for Sharita Richardson.
Yes.
So she has this new initiative. Now, she's from North Carolina, and she was cheerleading in middle school. This is a grown woman now, but she's now a mother raising three daughters who cheer competitively. But it wasn't until 2014, when she was pursuing her doctoral degree, hello, shout out to that, that she would find a new perspective on the sport.
Wait, there were gossip stories that you were getting married.
How did you miss that?
A movement that gives voice to disability.
I know.
I would have DM'd you.
Or cheerleaders of color. Yes. Black girls.
There's a bit of tech. You can write it down. So I love this story because Good Morning America featured it.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, with the popularity of Cheer on Netflix, have you seen Cheer on Netflix?
Yes. And what I love about this is I've wondered, where are the Black girls on Cheer on Netflix? So it's nice to see that there's a new initiative for Black girls cheering.
Yeah. I mean, this didn't just start, but I found because of the popularity of Cheer, I think that we're like more people are putting a spotlight on the cheerleading industry. and specifically mainstream media. So it is important. Official Black Girls Cheer is an Instagram account, and they have a growing following. And it's basically a community for cheerleaders who are in the Black community. And yeah, as you just mentioned, it is needed because you might watch a show like Cheer and say like, oh yeah, there were guys, obviously we had.
Yes, but there was total erasure of Black girls. Yeah. And you can come to your own conclusions as to why. But you certainly can't say that it's because Black girls aren't interested in cheer. I mean, I have one of my sisters was in a competitive cheerleader for years. So, I mean, I'm sure that there's layers to that. But it's nice to see that this initiative is there to support and uplift, you know, the girls that are shaking the pom-poms and doing the flips and doing the splits.
Yes. Now, the group was created in 2015 14. On Facebook. Oh, it says the group was founded. It's on Facebook.
Yeah.
Maybe it's 2014 going into 2015.
Maybe so.
But she says, we are a space to elevate those marginalized voices that may not have other opportunities to see themselves in that space of cheerleading. You cannot be what you cannot see.
See?
It's important to see yourself in anything so you can connect to it and you know it is possible for you. So from there, like, the group has over 10,000 members right now.
See?
And also their Instagram, 120,000 followers.
You mean to tell me out of those 10,000 members, nobody applied to Navarro? But I'm going to leave it alone. I don't want to keep pressing the issue.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a reason why it's there. So they also organize, this is what I also love, they also organize scholarships for cheerleaders, group meetups, and fundraisers for cheer events. And they recently partnered with Double Good, a company dedicated to supporting charities through fundraising initiatives. And they're producing a documentary titled Black Girls Cheer. So looking forward to that. Hopefully we can have
I wonder what network will pick that up. Will it be HBO? Will it be Netflix? Will it be Apple Plus TV?
Who knows?
Will it be Hulu? You know Hulu this upcoming Friday is the Hillary doc.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be watching.
But if the Cheer documentary proved anything, is that there's interest. So hopefully someone big picks it up. Again, you could follow them on Instagram at Official Black Girls Cheer. Shout out to that mom for making something happen.
Sharita. Dr. Sharita, excuse me. You know, she was getting her doctorate when this all came about.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I always forget that. We always have doctors on, and I'm like, I always just act casual with them when they are doctors.
See.
Well, you can nominate someone for a Yaz Queen of the Day. We do it every single day right here on Let's Go There. Just hit us up. Slide into our DMs at LGT Show. And we'll be back with more results from Super Tuesday up next.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, we are back. And before we say goodbye, we want to bring you some updates coming from the Super Tuesday polls. It seems like in Alabama, Joe Biden is leading a lot. 63%. Bernie Sanders behind him at 17%.
That does not surprise me.
Yeah. So we will see. We have a lot of states that still have not come out with their results. So it's going to be a long night.
And this may not make any sense, but I look at the more like traditional Democrats, mm-hmm. the more traditional Democratic states to go to Biden, and the more artsy millennial type purplish, bluish states to go to Bernie.
Yeah. Arkansas also coming in, only 16% reported, but Joe Biden,
of course,
is leading there as well. So I wonder if it's going to, how tight it's going to be. Joe Biden is leading a lot. Massachusetts, 31% reporting, but they still haven't. I guess Joe Biden is leading by
a bit. I think Biden has it.
Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders are pretty close in Massachusetts, too.
I think Biden has it, honestly. And I'm only saying that because when you look at the endorsements that just happened within the past 24 hours alone, and it seems like he's dominating right now. Or it might be my own personal bias because I'm not a fan of Bernie.
Well, you know, there's still an opening for anyone at this point. Well, at least between the two of them. And where's Elizabeth Warren in all this?
You know, Warren is my girl, but I'd be remiss if I did not acknowledge the obvious sexism and rampant misogyny of the United States.
Yes. Well, in Alabama, even, by the way, Michael Bloomberg is above her.
Well, I mean, that does not... I just said the sexism and rampant misogyny. Like, that's a woman with a plan. Elizabeth has an answer for everything, and guess what? She's still not good enough because she's not a man. If Elizabeth were Edward Warren, we'd be having a different conversation. I guarantee you that.
Well, hopefully in our time, we'll see the first female president at a certain point.
Girl.
Right?
I mean, I'm not holding my breath based on the way American politics are set up.
Okay. Well, you can find more Super Tuesday results right here on Channel Q. We'll keep you updated throughout the evening. Of course, we've got election night in late night with Jarrett Hill. And we've got some special guests live right here, right after the show and also after Loveline.
Yeah.
So just like hang out right here on Channel Q.
And you can come by. If you're in the Los Angeles area, it's not too late to register. We'll be here live in the sound space.
Yeah, you could stop by our event venue called the Sound Space.
Yes.
Right below, right here in LA on Wilshire Boulevard. Come by and say hi. We got snacks, we got drinks, and we got some good talk about politics.
We got smart talk with smart people.
Exactly. Now, coming up on tomorrow's show, it's going to be a great one. You actually did a really great interview with Ryan.
Yeah, so Lena Waithe, Emmy Award-winning producer Lena Waithe, she has a new show premiering on BET tomorrow night. It's titled 20s, and it follows three besties navigating Hollywood. And the lead character, the protagonist, is a masculine-presenting lesbian. It's a really funny, cute show. Ryan and I actually had the privilege to watch the entire season, and we will also be on BET's digital platforms for the next 8 weeks. This is one of 8 weeks.
That's huge.
So, yeah, it's a good show. So check it out. It premieres. Well, the interview will air here tomorrow. We have a visual component that'll drop on Thursday, but the show airs on tomorrow night. So,
So we got the stars on before the show.
Yeah,
that's
of
how
course.
We do it. All
of
right.
course.
Plus, of course, we'll be bringing you all the results from Super Tuesday. Can we just say call it something else? I feel like I need a shot every time I've said Super Tuesday on the show.
Maybe you do, sis. Tuesday, that's Tuesday. What downstairs
and
is for.
And by the way, people hate the way I pronounce Tuesday, so I apologize to everyone.
Yeah, what is Tuesday?
Tuesday. I don't know.
It's literally Tuesday.
I think
Tuesday.
It's Canadian. You Tuesday.
Need, no, you need an elocution class, Shira.
Well, all
an
right.
enunciation class.
Hey, bosses at radio.com, want to pay them for that? I'm down. I'm always down to learn. But we're going to see how the results will impact the Democratic nomination for president.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It's going to be pretty obvious what's coming up next. That's on tomorrow's show. Let's
I'm
go
excited
there.
And scared.
Exactly. You don't know what's going to happen. There's been lots of twists and turns in this election.
And there will always be. It's not over until it's over.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's unpredictable. You never know with American politics.
True.
Especially because the face of them has changed forever as of 2016.
At this point, when Obama was running, was he in the lead at the Super Tuesday?
I don't think so.
Exactly.
I don't think so.
Just saying. All right. That's on tomorrow's show again with Ryan. He'll be back.
Yes. Ryan will be back. Char will not.
4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern right here on Channel Q. If you miss any of the show, we post our shows every single day as a podcast. Just go on radio.com, search Let's Go There, support the show, listen to our podcast.
And you all do not want to miss today's episode if you missed earlier segments.
We had a crazy
You better go download that.
With a conservative trans non-binary.
I'm not participating in this.
Yeah. All right.
So.
That's all we got to say. Okay. And I'm sending you love and light. That's why we like to end the show.
What does Ryan say? How does he sign off?
Remember to slay.
Okay, so do it again.
Sending you love and light.
Remember to slay.
See you tomorrow. Stay tuned for Loveline with Dr.
Bye,
Chris
guys.
Right after this.